In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I want to go over this wonderful story, wonderful happening of the Transfiguration, Luke 9, verse 28. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. It was the Transfiguration, you know. The mountain is Mount Tabor. While he was praying, only Luke tells us he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Now, Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, but Moses died. We can talk to the saints, the canonized saints, because they are not dead, they are alive, just like Moses, who appeared in glory. Elijah and Moses appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus, that Jesus had to go to Jerusalem and die, that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with Jesus. And as they were apart from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us build three tents or three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." So we know when this happened. It happened in the fall for the Feast of Booths. But he did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened. They became frightened. "Oh, I want to be under that cloud, I'm going to tell you. I want to be in the shade of that cloud because it is filled with the glory of God. Oh, yes, it is filled with the glory of God." And when they entered the cloud, then from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at any time tell anyone what they had seen. They looked up and found only Jesus. I want to tell you the whole thing of the Bible from Genesis until Revelation points to Jesus Christ. They looked up and saw only Jesus. Why did Jesus have this experience of the Taboric light? I'm going to tell you. The Father is preparing him for the cross. The Father is preparing him for the cross. And before the cross, he gives him that experience which he always had with God. He was filled with the glory of God. I tell you, that glory is what we need. That glory of God, where God comes and does beautiful things. We see Moses in the burning bush. That was the glory of God in that bush. It was burning, but it wasn't consumed. I've seen that glory. I've experienced that glory, yes. I remember when I was in the seminary, the next day was the ordination of priests. I was not going to be ordained that year. I had three more years to wait. But the whole building where they were going to be ordained was covered with the glory of God. I could see it. It was very beautiful. It wasn't the sun. I saw the glory of God. And then when I went back to my room, that glory was coming through the window, and I sat down. The glory of God, the presence of God. How we need to know the presence of God. They looked up and saw only Jesus. Who do you see when you look up? Who do you see? Do you see Jesus? Jesus the Lord? Jesus the King, Jesus the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Servant of the Lord, crucified, died, buried, and raised from the dead. Who do you see? They looked up and saw only Jesus. See, Moses was the law, and Elijah was the prophets, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That's why these two glorified men were on the Mount of Transfiguration. But the whole thing is they looked up and saw only Jesus. Yes, that's important that we know that, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old and New Testament. He is the fulfillment. I pray that you would look up and see Jesus. I don't know what you're going through today, but that you would look up and see Jesus in your experience. Someone called me today desolate, and the only thing I could do was to pray, open a door for this person. Open a door for this person. Open a door for this person. Because the person was desperate. I can't open that door. Only God can open the door. Only Jesus can open the door. But that's what I prayed, that the Lord would open a door for this person. She needs a job, and she needs it mightily. So in your experience now, whatever you're going through, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Oh, yes, I want to hear that myself. Jesus is enough. Look up and see Jesus, and he will meet you where you are. He accepts you where you are. But one good thing about him, he will not keep you there. He will lead you away from darkness into light, from evil into blessing. Look up and see Jesus in your experience today. You can't pay your bills. I'm going to tell you, start tithing. Look up and see Jesus. Look up and see Jesus. I'm reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Now, Paul is in jail while he is writing to the Philippians. And it says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which were at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Already they have people that guard the flock, bishops and deacons. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace be to you. And I say that to you today. Grace and peace be to you. And whatever your experience is today, that God would give you the grace to accept his peace. Grace and peace. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Oh, yes. Paul loved the Philippian community. And now he is in jail. And he says, always in every prayer of mine, for you are making the request with joy. He says, I pray for you every time I pray. Why? Because the Philippian community is in the heart of Paul. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, they are people that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, being confident of this very thing, that he, the Lord, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know that? The Lord who has begun a good work in you, I'm talking to you today, that he would complete it on the day of Christ Jesus. He's not going to let you go. You might let him go, but he's not going to let you go. He's waiting for you to come back. He's not going to let you go. He's waiting for you to come back. And he will complete the good work that he has begun and on the day of Christ Jesus. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and in my confirmation of the gospel. He's in chains, he's saying. He's in jail. And he says, you know, I have you in my heart. I think about you in my heart. And I love you. You are the people who are preaching the gospel. I love you. You are in my heart, and I make mention of you. Then he talks about the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the love of Jesus Christ. How I long for the Philippian community in the love of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, understanding. Oh, yes. That love will abound in us. Remember three things that last: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I was talking this morning about the scripture that told us to care for orphans and widows. And I spoke about what we do out on the street for the poor people that are homeless, and how people come to make sandwiches for them on Saturday morning. I said, this is not charity. This is justice. You see, justice is what they deserve. Charity goes beyond what they deserve. People deserve to eat. This is justice, not charity. I know that to be true. And yet, you know, God cares for these people. They are always so grateful. They are always so filled with love. Last week, someone came up to me, kissed me on the cheek, and said, Happy Valentine's Day. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the last thing I was thinking about was Valentine's Day to the woman. But she is the person out in the street, and she wanted to wish me a happy Valentine's Day. I tell you, this is interesting. As I said, Valentine's Day was the last thing that was on my mind. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in understanding, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense, till the day of Christ Jesus. Yes, that you will be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ Jesus. I'm talking about a holy innocence. You know, there's a difference between being ignorant and being innocent. I know, even myself, I am in many ways innocent, and I have not been tarnished by the world in many ways. In other ways, I'm not innocent, but mostly part of me is innocent. You know, people have said things to me, I don't know what they were talking about. You know, they were saying things to me, and I didn't know what they were talking about. Thanks be to God. The Philippian community, Paul wants them to have this holy innocence, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory of God. But I would that you should understand, my brothers, that the things which happened unto me, the being arrested, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That being persecuted, the gospel is being preached even more. Paul says that. You see, God doesn't give us arthritis. God gives us persecution. And that in the persecution, the other people saw that they needed to preach the gospel just like Paul, for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ, you know, the persecution in Christ, are manifest in all the palace and in other places. It's manifest in the palace of Rome and other places. In other words, God is using the bonds that Paul is experiencing in being arrested. God is using Paul's experience. He doesn't just say, well, Paul can't preach anymore because he's in house arrest. No, he says other people are preaching because they see that I'm in house arrest. And they're doing a good job too, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all other places. And many of my brothers in the Lord waxing confident that my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, they see Paul in bonds and they preach the word without fear. Oh yes, we need preachers of the word of God who will preach the word of God without fear. I'm telling you, the main job, the main vocation of the priest is not to celebrate the Eucharist, but to preach the Word of God. My friend Donna was on a 30-day retreat, and the priests asked the people, what is the main vocation of the priest? And Donna raised her hand. She said, to preach the Word of God. She was the only one who knew that, because she heard it. And that's what St. Paul, that's what Paul VI tells us in his letter to evangelization, that the primary vocation of the priest and the bishop is to preach the word of God. Some indeed preach Christ out of envy and strife, and some out of goodwill. In other words, some see Paul and they preach Christ, you know, I'm going to spite Paul. I'm going to preach the word higher, better than him because he's in jail. Ha ha. I'm going to preach better than Paul. And some preach out of goodwill because they've been called to preach. But what does Paul say? The ones that preach Christ out of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction. They think they're going to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I rejoice. Now I'm telling you, as long as Christ is preached, whether people are doing it to make money, I'm going to tell you, as long as Christ is preached, they will be judged. Christ is preached. We need to preach Christ. I remember going by a Protestant church that says, we preach Christ, and what else is there to preach? Remember? They looked up and saw only Jesus. What else is there to preach? There's nothing else to preach but Jesus Christ. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and to supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul asks for the prayers of the Philippians, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also shall Christ be magnified in my body, in my chains, whether it be in my life or in my death. Do you see? Paul has one love, and that love is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were people who hated Paul. They said, we're going to preach Jesus Christ so that Paul would become jealous. He said, no, as long as Christ is preached. I'm telling you, do not hinder men or women who preach the gospel. They might not be Catholic, but if they are preaching the word of God, oh, hallelujah, only that Christ be preached. That Christ be preached. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is Paul. For me to live is Christ. Not what I have, not what people give me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why? Because I will see him face to face, and I will know him as I am known by him. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, for I am in straits between two things, desiring to depart, die, and to be with Christ, which is far better. but nevertheless to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. In other words, you know, it'd be better for me to go to heaven, but I can't go to heaven now because I have work to do. My work is not finished. I've talked about people that have gone to heaven and the Lord sends them back and he says, your work is not finished. Only when the work is finished will he take us. I'm believing that. I'm believing that the work that God has given me is not finished. I'm not looking forward to die, to tell you the truth. But I know once that God takes me, I won't want to come back. I know that. Same with you. If you're afraid to die, I'm going to tell you about my mother. She was afraid to die until she was dying. And when she was dying, she wanted to go home. And she wasn't talking about East Boston. She wanted to go to God. And she had no fear about dying. Because she was ready to die. So if you are afraid to die today, you're just wasting time. When it is your turn to die, you will have the grace to accept it. That's real. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yes, because I'll see him face to face. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, for I am in a strait between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, but nevertheless in my flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. That's very important. Watch out for what your mouth says. Let your conversation be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. In other words, people were against the Philippians from preaching the gospel, but to you of salvation and that of God. In other words, they who are against you, they're going to die and go to hell. But you are not. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his sake. Yes, to suffer persecution for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. The same experience that Paul himself experienced persecution. But remember what he says about his persecution, that his persecution has caused people to preach more vehemently with all their heart, some out of love for Christ and some to make Paul jealous. But Paul says, no, it doesn't matter who preaches, out of jealousy or out of a good heart, because the only thing that is needed is that Christ be proclaimed. Father, we want to proclaim Jesus Christ. We want to look up and see only Jesus. We want to know that Jesus Christ is happy with our lives. Oh God, meet the experiences of these people, whatever they're going through, and let them know that you have a purpose and a plan for them. Let them know that you have a purpose and a plan for them. Give them grace, O God. Give them grace, O God. Give them grace, O God. People that hear me in jail, I'm telling you, you have been tied up with chains and you can do so much. Why don't you keep on praying for me that God will give me the ability to preach the gospel as he wants me to preach the gospel. I know there are people that listen to me in jail, so pray for me. Your bonds can be magnified in the glory of God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. They looked up and saw only Jesus. Who do you see today? He's with you. He's for you. He's got a purpose for your life and a plan for your life. Look up and see Jesus and trust him. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.